Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of the ministry, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They've sought me for ministry, blessings and gifts." He said, "I had given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message about the first love. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verses 2 to 4. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, I'm reading verse 2. "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." Verse 3. "And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." Verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." The word "first" in Strong's is number 4413, a contracted superlative of another word meaning foremost, in time, in place, in order or importance. Something before, something beginning, the best, the chiefest of all, the first of all, the former. The word "love" in Strong's is number 26. From another word which means love, that is affection or benevolence, specifically a love feast, a feast of charity, a dearness and a love. For more information on the first love, please read chapter 8 in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity. The term first love describes the first time in a human relationship someone is asked to make a series of lifestyle changes. More accurately, it may be the first time a person really wants to make those compromises because they value the relationship highly enough. The first love can even appear foolish or driven by strong emotions. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 to 17, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians 4. I'm reading verse 10. "We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised." Verse 11. "Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place." Verse 12. "And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it." Verse 13. "Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day." Verse 14. "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you." Verse 15. "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Verse 16. "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Verse 17. "For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul had not lost his first love. He was a fool for Christ, following the paths God had set for him. Paul was sure that what he went through was an expression of his love for Christ. It was embarrassing, possibly, for the Corinthians, but he called them beloved sons. To help them, Paul sent a young man to teach them how Paul overcame and never got in the flesh. This was something that Paul was teaching everywhere. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm reading verse 11. Persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Jesus should remain your first love despite any persecution and affliction you might face. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 28. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm starting in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Paul was happy to pray as the Spirit was leading. By God's will being done in your life, you will gain and not lose if you love God and are working on your calling. You may have many challenging situations. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 12. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Christianity is often seen as just another religion, where church people and outsiders can still do what they want when they want after conversion. This is not the way Christ lived. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. This is in the book of Romans chapter 5. I'm studying verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You may be reconciled through his death. But to be ready for his appearing, we have to follow Christ. Otherwise, you will drift back into the world and become religious. Jesus is coming back for his bride imminently. History seems to be repeating itself. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 19. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 15. I know thy works, and that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou would be cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint their eyes with eye salver, that thou mayest see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God's chastening is evidence of his love for the church. If you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, and mind, you will be zealous for truth and repent. Loving other things makes you spiritually cold. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verses 5 to 10. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 5. Perverse disputings of men and of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money is the root of all evil. Your faith cannot be purified if you have a friendship with this world. James said in James chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. This is in the book of James chapter 4. I'm reading verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Verse 5. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? Verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Man was designed to serve, like Jesus came to serve. You're either following Christ or you're following the devil. There is no third option. Time is running out for those who have not paid a price for following Christ. You need eyes to see what you are losing through being earthly minded. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. I'm reading verse 1. Lo, everyone that is thirsty, come, ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. If you come to him and stop seeking temporal things that perish, he will make an everlasting covenant with you. You must learn to hear his voice and obey. When Jesus overcame, he sat down. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, this is Hebrews chapter 1, I'm reading verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus is still making every effort now to reach out to those born again in the church who are too comfortable, apathetic, or too lazy to respond to conviction. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 to 22. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Verse 21. And to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Verse 22. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Jesus did all the work dying on the cross. Jesus here gets up after finishing his work on the cross and is now knocking on hard hearts in the church, serving the lust of the flesh. John said in 1 John 2, verses 15 to 16. This is 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The word love in Strong's used here is number 25. It comes from another word which means to love in a social or moral sense. Be loved or loved. To not love the world is a command, not a suggestion. God gave man the ability to love in a moral and social sense. That is part of his calling as God's representative on earth. This is what makes mankind different from the rest of creation. God is love, and God's plan was for his love to be directed by the Spirit through man. Jesus is our example. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 46. This is Matthew chapter 5. I'm reading verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45. That you may be children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? With God's love, you can be different. Make no excuses. Our salvation is complete when we live and function as Jesus walked. Do not be conformed to this world. As his child, you can love your enemies. This is what Jesus did for you when you were his enemy. Loving your enemies confirms you're a child of God. There are consequences for just loving those who love you. A lifestyle that's dependent on others is only a way that seems right. You're actually trapped and comfortable and will start ignoring other truths that you need to follow Christ. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch focused on pleasing God in all areas. You can focus on your relationship with God. Through pleasing God and diligently seeking him, there are rewards. This may appear foolish to believe. What you believe in your heart is what you will do. Love and faith are connected. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verse 19. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 2. I'm reading verse 19. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Those doing works without love, faith, and patience become more selfish. The devil can throw doubts on God's faithfulness to get you to rely on what little knowledge of right and wrong you have rather than ask God everything. Jesus said to his own disciples in John 14, verses 13 to 15, This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm reading verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Expect royal treatment, following Christ, keeping his commands out of love. God is love and he cannot deny himself. Everything in God's kingdom is done out of love. This is how it will be in his kingdom to come and how it is in the kingdom of God now. You might find it difficult to operate in his love because you never really got to know him personally. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is 1 John chapter 2, reading verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4. And he that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Jesus has given us the privilege to make a fresh start personally and keep his commandments out of love and not go back to serving other things. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 9 to 14. This is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. I'm starting in verse 9. And the Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. Verse 10. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto the fathers to give thee. Verse 12. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Verse 14. And thou shalt not go outside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. You will become the head, not the tail, through keeping his commands, calling on the name of the Lord. Others will see, through God's covenant, blessings consistently appearing in your life. You will have an abundance, so you do not have to seek earthly things that the world cannot get without serving the devil. Paul said in Romans chapter 2, verses 4, and reading verse 8, this is Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgments of God. Verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. In the Amplified Bible, Romans 2, verse 8 says, But for those who are self-seeking and self-willed and disobedient to the truth, but responsive to wickedness, there will be indignation and wrath. Conviction you experience following Christ is a sign that the flesh is trying to control you. Conviction identifies those things that need removing through repentance. At the root of sin, you believe lies in the past to make it easier on your flesh. If you now try to repent, and Jesus is not your first love, nothing will change. You will again be drawn away by the lust of your flesh instead. James said in James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Those who resist conviction have already believed lies just to keep their flesh comfortable. If you let the flesh control you, you will come out of Christ. Peter said to the new converts in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 5, starting verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. The word devour in Strong's is number 2666. It is from another word which means to drink down, that is to gulp entire, literally or figuratively, to devour, drown or swallow up. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Peter 5:10 says, and after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. The devil is like a roaring lion with no teeth, but gets you to run into a trap through fear. Those who are established in their love relationship with him are not easily moved. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. This is 1 John chapter 4, I'm reading verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Resist the devil and stay in Christ, and you will overcome by faith. Refuse to do anything to meet your personal needs from the carnal nature. Trust in God's love and covenants. Going back to the flesh destroys the foundation God is trying to build in you. Doing dead works again puts down a fresh root for the flesh. Remain in his love, steadfast in the faith, and you will, number one, become complete and remove any fear of suffering. Number two, be more established in your faith and feel protected. Number three, be strengthened because the flesh will be weaker. Number four, be more settled in how the Lordship of Christ functions. You cannot sin until you first get in the flesh. To get in the flesh, you have to believe lies that you have not dealt with before. All lies should have been removed at your salvation through a deep breaking and repentance from dead works. You should have been confronted with the misery of your sin, reaping the consequences of following a shallow, self-seeking lifestyle that came from being Lord of your own life. You should have experienced his love and forgiveness at that time too. Your heart should have been broken as it betrayed you seeking other things. We read in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. This is in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. If you're still listening to your own heart, it needs to be broken. God will give you a new heart. Do not blame the devil when you keep listening to your own heart. David said in Psalms 34, verses 18 and 19. I'm reading in the Psalms, chapter 34, starting in verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be a contrite spirit. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 3, Joseph Hedgecott writes, a broken heart. If you want to enjoy a vital, blessed relationship with your Father, the first words cannot be neglected. If you proclaim to love Jesus Christ, but continue to resist Him, humble yourself and ask Him to bring you to brokenness. If your heart is not broken, then you will end up seeing Christianity is just another religion, deceiving yourself. It's often taught someone can accept Christ by repeating a set pattern of words like joining a club or society. David said in the Psalms 51 and verse 10. This is in the book of Psalms, chapter 51, and reading verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. By serving two masters, corruption gets in and you cannot grow spiritually. You become trapped again. What is in your heart should tell you where your treasure is already. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 21 to 24. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Verse 23. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. For more information, please read chapter 7, Signs You Are a Prisoner, in the book The Guilted Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecott. He loves you, but you can still be a castaway if you try to save your earthly, comfortable, temporal life. Time is running out. Jesus said in Luke 17, verses 33 to 36. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, I'm reading verse 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Verse 34. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and the one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Verse 35. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Verse 36. Two men shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. In the autobiography of Charles Finney, we read on pages 159 to 161. I always insisted much in my instructions upon entire consecration to God, giving up all to Him, body, soul, possessions, to be forever after used for His glory as a condition of acceptance with God. Sinners were not encouraged to expect the Holy Spirit to convert them while they were passive and never told to wait God's time, but were taught unequivocally that their first and immediate duty was to submit themselves to God, to renounce their own will, their own way, and themselves, and to instantly deliver up all that they were and all that they had to their rightful owner, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were taught that the only obstacle in the way was their own stubborn will, that God was trying to gain their unqualified consent to give up their sins and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their righteousness and salvation. The point was frequently urged upon them to give their consent, and they were told that the only difficulty was their own honest and earnest consent to the terms upon which Christ would save them, and the lowest terms upon which they could possibly be saved. Faith in God and God in Christ was ever made prominent, and they were informed that this faith is not a mere intellectual assent, but is the consent of or trust of the heart, a voluntary, intelligent trust in God, as he's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the justice of endless punishment was fully insisted upon, and not only its justice, but the certainty that sinners will be endlessly punished if they die in their sins was strongly held forth. Sinners were never taught in any of the revivals that they needed to expect conversion in answer to their own prayers. They were told that if they regarded iniquity in their hearts, the Lord would not hear them, and that while they remained impenitent, they were sinning in their hearts, and that such an impenitent and unbelieving prayer is an abomination to God. But if they were truly disposed to offer acceptable prayer to God, they could do it. For there was nothing but their own obstinacy in the way of doing so at once. In short, pains were taken to shut the sinner up to accepting Christ, his whole will, atonement, official work, and official relations, renouncing all sin, all excuse-making, all unbelief, all hardness of heart, and every wicked thing in heart and life, here and now forever. To save your life, you must be truthful about what you were serving before your conversion to Christ, and be willing to lose everything and anything that potentially could hinder you following and hearing his voice clearly. Jesus said in John 10, verses 27 and 28. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Charles Finney identified the following was necessary for conversion to Christ. Number one, submission to God, making any correction identified through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Number two, a giving up of your own will and lordship and accepting the divine will for your life instead. Number three, a passionate and honest seeking of God's terms for salvation. Number four, a giving up of all earthly possessions, making them available for his use only. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will in thought, purpose, and action. God looks at your heart. God's gift now for all eternity is the ability to know and communicate with him directly so you can benefit from his commands. Being united with Christ means he leads and you follow as in a marriage. If you are being born again, Jesus needs to be your first love. Most never repented of their own lordship. Those who do not repent are serving two masters and do not experience God's best now. They have a hard time seeing the gift of eternal life as the answer to life on this earth. Also, the devil has corrupted everything here, giving people what they want if they serve him. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. This is Philippians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The word win in Strong's is number 2770. It comes from another word which means to gain, literally or figuratively. To get, to gain, or to win. You cannot gain or win Christ without giving up something to follow him. There were possessions and things of great value in Paul's life that he had lost in order to win Christ's control. Has your heart been changed? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 20. I'm reading the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. This I say then, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their own mind. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19. Who, being past feelings, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. The church of Ephesus was slowly losing their first love, loving what the world had to offer. Paul wrote to them urgently because they were listening to their own hearts, making earthly plans without asking God. They learned through Paul too, as he was serving Christ through the gospel. Paul was traveling with Priscilla and Aquila. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 19 to 21. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 18. I'm reading verse 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Verse 20. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. Verse 21. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Apollos, a Jew and strong believer in John's baptism, was bold and persuaded many Jews in Ephesus. Apollos also came into contact with Christianity through Aquila and Priscilla, while Paul was in Corinth. On his second visit, then, Paul met a group of disciples that had a very systematic approach to denying self following John's baptism. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 1, and reading all the way to verse 12. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. Verse 2. And he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Verse 3. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Verse 7, And all the men were about 12. Verse 8, And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. verse 9, but when the divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Verse 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Paul spent 2 years establishing the truth in Ephesus, even when there was a lot of resistance to the Holy Spirit from the Jews. Ephesus was a church that Paul helped personally. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 16, and reading to verse 27. This is Acts chapter 20, and we're starting in verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hastened, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 23. Save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bands and afflictions abide me. Verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 7 on page 82, Joseph Edgecott writes, many believers make an effort to walk in this message for a season. However, they only get to know the Lord in a limited way. Their lack of success is the direct result of their unwillingness to give up their lordship. They refuse to count the cost or pay the price to follow Jesus because they do not trust him. Even though they profess to have faith in God, they are reluctant to give him full control. In the Amplified Bible in Luke 9:23-25, Jesus was speaking. And he said to them all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living and if need be in dying also. To deny yourself and take up your cross daily is a command. It requires a certain amount of love to obey. He provides enough love for this at salvation so that you can deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God's plan was to have a love relationship with you from the beginning. He has promised to give you what you need and enough love for you not to be selfish in this world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 to 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There is no temptation taking you but that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. We are the ones who determine whether we experience blessings or not. God does not change. He can delay his judgments, but if you make wrong choices, God will act according to his written word unless you repent. We serve a jealous God. God is busy revealing those things in you that do not conform to the image of his Son and how he walked on the face of the earth. He reveals those things you have made more important than God. He prepares your heart so that you can repent and let them go. James said in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in chapter 8, on first love, on pages 110 to 111, Joseph Hedgecott writes, in the beginning of your spiritual walk, your focus should be on learning to receive God's love and enjoying his presence. Simply open your heart to him, confess your sins, and repent if you need to. Let God manifest himself to you in a way he chooses. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I'll be exalted in the earth. In this hectic world we live in, we are comfortable being busy and doing as much as possible in an allotted amount of time. Carrying this mentality into your relationship with God will only cause frustration. You must practice being still before him. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments, King James Version says, imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It may take a few minutes to calm your mind, but it's well worth the effort. Ask the Lord to calm you as you bring every thought under his control. It's important to pray a covering over yourself as you come before the Lord. The devil loves to fill your mind with things you think you should be doing or other distractions to keep you from focusing your thoughts on the Lord. You must learn how to be still before God. As you practice this, you will learn how to be quiet and restful in your spirit, even when you are busy doing what the Lord has told you to do. Do not try to impress God. Let him take the initiative. Purify your heart as you draw near to God and believe that he will draw near to you. If it does not seem God is drawing close to you, do not try to force the issue. If it is not working, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what is wrong so you can confess and repent. By not loving God, you will become empty and be tempted to do something to meet your own needs through your carnal nature and commit spiritual adultery. By loving God, you get more back. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." For more information about sowing and reaping love through the commands, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. The kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit. Now is the time to learn how to please God and do the will of God consistently. John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. This is 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading verse 17. "And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." Heaven is a place where his perfect will is being done every minute. So how will you function there if you're still serving the lust of the flesh now? We read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." There are three voices in the spiritual realm. God is transmitting his perfect will and his commandments for his saints out of love. The carnal nature has its own demands, but you can deny yourself. Through the flesh and the world, the devil gets access. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." To hear the still small voice of God, you need to keep your mind and heart still. If your mind is still, it will be easier to recognize the loud demands of your carnal nature and take them captive too. We read in Psalms 46 and verses 8 to 11. This is in the Psalms chapter 46. I'm reading verse 8. "Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he's made in the earth." Verse 9. "He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He makes the bow and cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire." Verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Verse 11. "The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. If you are born again, use your connection to God to get to know him and ask him what is priority. Be patient. He knows what's going to happen next. Keep a daily record of how things work to your good by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. God has made it simple through the commands of Jesus because he loves you. Jesus said to his own disciples in John 14, verses 21 to 25. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 21. "And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Verse 22. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Verse 24. "And he that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." Verse 25. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 8 on First Love, on pages 111 and 112, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "The first works are always to humble yourself, repent of every sin, and draw near to God. Whenever You need God. You always go back to these first works, regardless of how long you have walked with Him or where you are spiritually. Walking with God always comes back to the foundation of a personal, intimate relationship with Him. I keep repeating this because it's so crucial. It is here that Satan will try to distract you with ways that seem right. As the father of lies, he will always supply you with a list of things you should or should not do instead of humbling yourself. God requires nothing more or less than focusing on loving and obeying Him. It's imperative to focus your mind and heart on this simple truth. In the upper room, it was not Judas Iscariot who asked a question, as he had his own plans. Christ will manifest Himself to all those who have and keep His commands by the Spirit. This is not just something that happens at salvation. Expect Him to manifest in all circumstances for you to be an image of Christ with God dwelling in you. This is your spiritual inheritance. By keeping Jesus' commands through the Spirit, everything you do will have the same motive, mind and heart as God in everything. You become born of God by keeping His commands consistently, not just born again. John said in 1 John 4, verses 7 to 10. I'm reading 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. And he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 8 on First Love, on pages 113 and 114, Joseph Hitchcock writes, if God gives you a command and you fail while trying to obey, He does not condemn you, and He is not angry with you. Consider this as part of your training and see it as another opportunity to remove more hindrances so you can grow. Then you can obey the commandment in the future without any problem. If you've had trouble obeying the Lord with a right motive, love, it is likely that you do not understand how much He loves you. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you specific ways God has manifested His love to you in recent days and weeks, as well as in the distant past. Ask Him to show you blessings He has given you that you have never been aware of. Recognize that His gifts are given because He loves you so much. As God opens your eyes, make a note of the blessings He has given you in a section of your notebook. If you are not enjoying those blessings, as you should, list each hindrance the Holy Spirit reveals to you. There is no reason why Christ should not manifest in you. Christ now has fulfilled the law, and you get to keep His commandments instead. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 26, this is John's Gospel, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Do not be tempted to produce any counterfeits through the flesh. If you do, then you'll be getting further away from God. Rely on conviction and the Spirit bringing thoughts back to your remembrance. Only those who know God personally have the ability to love others the way that Christ did, by submitting to the Father's will. John said in 1 John 4, verses 16 and 17. This is 1 John chapter 4. I'm reading verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. The word dwelleth in Strong's is number 3306, a primary verb to stay in a given place or state, relation or expectancy, abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand or tarry. In the Amplified Bible, 1 John 4, 16 and 17 says, And we know and understand and recognize and are conscious of, by observation and by experience, and believe and adhere to and put faith in and rely on the love God cherishes for us. God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. The Father made himself known through Christ, taking the form of a servant. All you have to do is dwell in his love by keeping his commandments for your life, and Christ will manifest. Do not miss your opportunities to obey his commands for you personally, especially if the situation appears challenging. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 8, charity never fails, but where there are prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Love makes everything work. There are many demands for love in this world, especially the pure love, if you have some. You may be called to love others, but now everyone can get what they need. Everyone can get more love by sowing love into God, abiding in Christ and following him. Man can get a regular supply by seeking his commandments. God is not corrupt. The love from man is contaminated because of sin and does not satisfy. God is the only source of pure love. Our salvation is completed when we live and function like Jesus, doing the will of the Father. Through the Spirit, every true disciple of Christ can now do something pure with no corruption and no regrets and get to know God in the process. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, this is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 5, But whosoever keeps his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Verse 6, He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. John said that keeping his word and commandments is the proof of being in Christ, and the fruit is that they walk even as Christ walked, by faith and not by sight. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, I'm reading the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 12 on Practical Applications, on page 182, Joseph Hedgecott writes, The belief that you're automatically in Christ simply because you're born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature, the flesh. Romans 16 explains the nature you are in is based on who is controlling you. This false doctrine that you are automatically in Christ is common throughout all church denominations. It's often taught that you cannot come out of Christ. The truth is, as soon as you let the flesh control you, then you come out of Christ. If you want to abide, then you have to resist the temptation to do anything from your carnal nature. David said in the Psalms, chapter 40, and verses 4, I'm reading to verse 11. This is the Psalms, chapter 40, starting in verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I am come in the volume of the book, as is written of me. Verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest. Verse 10. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. At salvation, Jesus should have become your first love. Your love for God can be lost over a period of time just by not seeking God for commands. I remember at salvation having waves of God's love, but all that dried up when I went back to being Lord of my own life. Those who are saints are called the beloved because God loves all his children consistently, whether they realize or not. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves man with a passion. You can experience that love by faith. He created man in his own likeness. He is love and has declared his covenants openly to always provide everything necessary for life and godliness on this earth through faith in his living word. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In the Amplified Bible, John 3:16 says, For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whosoever believes in trusts in and clings to, relies on him, shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. Faith without works is dead. You have to believe in the path he has chosen for you now and submit. Those who believe, number one, trust him to provide what they need. Number two, cling to the rightly revealed word of truth. And number three, rely on God for information and direction. Those in the Old Testament had to trust God with all their heart. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 12. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse 9. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the firstfruits of all thine increase. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. Verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Everything that's selfish and evil in this world can be traced back to the lack of the love of God in men's hearts. You will only experience selfish love without God. All the love you need is available in Christ, and you are complete in him. We read in John chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, and reading verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was like a schoolmaster given to the Jews, so that they could come to repentance and not be judged with the rest of the world. Those who were convicted through the law and not lazy could seek his face. When the children of Israel went away from the Lord, God sent messages of repentance through the prophets to bring conviction. We have the Holy Spirit in us to convict us and show us when we have crossed God's boundaries on a daily basis. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We are to forgive others and be tender-hearted. Remember, Christ had everything and gave it up to save sinners. Do not be selfish, as nothing in God's kingdom is self-seeking. The church located in the port of Ephesus had become bitter and angry, serving other things, and eventually lost their first love. Let God be your source of getting everything you need without seeking it yourself. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In God's kingdom, you do not need to think about tomorrow, as this will hinder you from knowing what you need to know now. The minds of those buried with Christ are not anxious, so that the Spirit can put his divine thoughts there by his grace. God can easily show you something you forgot that you need to do now, ready for tomorrow. In this way, you can experience his care and love for you, led by the Spirit. If you're like Paul, you want to win Christ's control. You win his control by giving up those things you are holding on to in this world. Paul also said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. This is Philippians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us. For an example, verse 18. For many walk of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Those holding on to the things of the world have a weak foundation, and you will need to do your first works over again. If you listen to the devil, you will end up with a fear of losing something you cannot keep. God is not the problem. The problem is the lack of God's love in the hearts of his people who think too much, are fond of this world, and believe lies as a result. Many think they can handle temptation, have a confidence in the flesh, going places that God does not direct them. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. There is no greater priority than putting to death the carnal nature once you're born again, if you want to maintain your first love. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, starting in verse 8. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Verse 9. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. Verse 10. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. The marriage that was going to be for the Jews now includes the Gentiles. The wedding plans have been held up for nearly 2,000 years just for you to fall in love with Jesus and become his bride by grace through faith. James said in James chapter 1, verse 18. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of a first fruits of his creatures. You will become the bride of Christ through obeying the truth with the help of the Holy Spirit. If you are still resisting the chasing of the Lord, you will not be ready for your marriage to Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience, in the sight of God. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. In the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, if our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. All they have eyes for is the fashionable God of darkness. They think he can give them what they want and that they won't have to bother believing a truth they can't see. They're stone blind to the dayspring brightness of the message that shines with Christ. who gives us the best picture of God we'll ever get. Despite the work of Jesus on the cross, many struggle to see that God is love, blinded by the devil, giving the world what they want. Those who do see God's love are consistent, completely transformed, and immovable. The difference is like day and night. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 37 to 39. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 37. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul had a strong belief in God's love. He went through many struggles, but gained experience and knowledge along the way. Here are 10 things Paul experienced that did not hinder him from having clear communication with God and abiding in his presence. Number 1, physical death, which Paul experienced when he was stoned. Number 2, life. This includes the cares of the world and earthly things. Number 3, angels. He mentioned someone who went to the third heaven. Number 4, principalities, governments, and ruling authorities on the earth. Number 5, powers. The Amplified Bible calls this things impending. Number 6, things present. The Amplified Bible calls this things threatening. Number 7, things in the future, like plans for a world government. Number 8, nor height, money, or no amount of position in this world. Number 9, nor depth, nor amount of poverty or suffering. Number 10, any creature, not even the devil. You may want to add to this list from your own experience, but first agree with Paul's list. One item that was not on Paul's list was something in the past. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, but unconfessed sin can stop you from experiencing God's love now. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This is 1 John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God doesn't make mistakes. We may have to lose many things following Christ. This is easy to accept if Jesus is still your first love. What you are holding on to in this life will stop you from experiencing a better life now and in the future. You are not supposed to love the things that God provides. You only need him and the comfort of the Holy Spirit he provides through denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. If you're not following Christ, you are following the devil unawares. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. I'm reading. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm reading verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. If you have lost your first love, you will feel separated from God, and not everything will be working to your good. This will allow fear to come into your heart instead. God never does anything out of fear. You could even be serving a fear of suffering just because Jesus is not your first love. Love is not a feeling or emotion, but an attribute of God that defines him. You are destined to be a son of God. You cannot be a son of God without the ability to open your heart and express his love. You just have to abide and let him use you. There is no excuse for you not following Christ. Jesus was listening to his heavenly Father, consistently and obeyed. Through the new covenant, we are not keeping set laws and traditions, but are alive to God spiritually through the Holy Spirit. He is transmitting his perfect will for every child of his. God is love, and he will not tell us to do something that is not the best for us, even if it means we have to suffer for righteousness' sake. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation, freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad way that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way. And many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad way. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, I can recommend the book, The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared a message about the first love. God is love. And he designed us to have love. Not only to experience that love, but also for us to express that love. And that makes us complete. Without that love, you will never be who you're supposed to be. Look at your life. The more selfish you become, the worse it gets. But the more you love God, and if today you can believe what I'm saying, maybe you've never heard this kind of message before, but you can put God first. You can make him your first love. And you can begin sowing into God and sowing and doing things out of love because God has designed you that way. You're a special person, but you won't function. If you continue to be selfish, you'll only be destroyed and eaten up by that selfishness. I want to pray with you. Father in heaven, for those who are listening to this message right now, and they know that they have been selfish, and they can see that fruit in their life, that things are miserable and shameful, and Father, you can express your love to them right now. I know. And if they will believe, they will experience that love for themselves afresh. And Father, I pray that you will speak to them clearly about those areas where they have hardened their heart and give them a fresh heart so they can see it the way you see it. And they can begin to do things out of love as you plan for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video or even written out above. Please get in touch with us. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you.